God, hallelujah. Welcome to a study in the Word. We're at Harvest Worship Center in Rolla, Missouri, and we're in the middle of beginning or end of the middle on an in-depth study on love. This is message number 28 in our series, and today's title is Developing Our Love Walk, Part 3. Next week, we have a special treat. My wife will be doing the Bible study, or since it's a week before Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas next week, she will be doing next week's study on a kind of a Christmas theme. And then after that, the very following Sunday, the 27th, the last Sunday of the year, we will resume with our study. And there will probably be somewhere around 50 maybe messages here, somewhere in there, because I'm just a little over halfway of my notes, and I added an extra page this morning, so it's kind of the way it goes, it's ongoing. So anyways, today's message title is Developing Our Love Walk, Part 3, and let's get right into it with prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor we have to come before you this morning. Lord, your door is always open, and you're always ready to receive your children, and your word says you'll never leave us nor forsake us, so you're always with us. But it's very special when we choose to come before your throne that's always open. You desire so much to teach us your ways and to teach us your heart and to teach us who we are, so much so that you placed your precious spirit within each of your children. We're so thankful for that, Lord. And as we study today, we're asking for revelation knowledge of your word. Revelation knowledge of who we are, revelation knowledge of who the church is, revelation knowledge of all that we're supposed to be each step of our way. And we thank you for it, Father. You, we receive that because we know we prayed your will, and we know that you heard us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because you hear your perfect will when it's prayed, and we thank you for it. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, we're going to get started here. The last 2 weeks we've studied, the first week on developing our love walk, part one, we kind of studied what the building blocks were, and last week we studied some of the hindrances. So today we're going to continue with part three, and we're going to kind of look at a little different angle of it today. We're going to start in 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verse 22. This was supposed to be the last verse last week, and we never got that far. So we're going to tie the 2 weeks together with this here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Unless otherwise stated, it will be the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. Shun youthful lust and flee from them. Like I said, last week we studied hindrances. So that's kind of related to what we were studying. Shun youthful lust and flee from them, and aim at and pursue righteousness. So if you change something, if you remove yourself from something, you're always removing yourself into something. You're always putting off this and putting on this. There's no middle ground. You leave one place and you go towards another. You quit aiming at one thing and you aim at another. So here it says to shun youthful lust and flee them. So get away from them, drop them, get rid of them out of your life, and aim at and pursue. So if I'm pursuing something, I'm seeking it. Okay? Aim at and pursue righteousness, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. So we're supposed to aim at and seek right living and conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. Every area of our life is covered in thought, word, and deed. If we aim at controlling our thoughts and pursue that, controlling our thoughts with the word of God, that our thoughts are his thoughts and his ways, aim at the word and pursue that. So we have to be in the word. And in our deed, what we act out of, what we do with that word in our thoughts, bringing it out into activity in our life where it's an active pursuit of God in every area of our life. So we aim at and pursue that. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace. Harmony, concord with others, in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So we're supposed to aim at and pursue righteousness, virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God and without word and deed. And we're also to aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace. Well, faith works by love. We should constantly be working on our faith, not our fear. It's easy to function in fear. Sometimes it's not easy to function on faith. In order to function on faith, you've got to have something to have faith in.
That's right.
You have to know there's something to choose here. Fear is part of the fallen nature of man, but faith is part of the natural, godly, spiritual minded believer. One is being spiritually minded. That's faith. Faith in what? Faith in God and His Word. Faith in His ways. The other is fear, which is actually faith in the world, faith in the enemy, faith in your own self to accomplish things, but it's being carnally minded, which the Word says is death in Romans 8. So I choose what I have faith in, but I have to pursue faith. In other words, I have to do something with my faith.
Amen.
And how does faith work?
By
love. If it's not love-based, your faith won't work. It will not work. It works by love. So if I'm expected to have faith to change things, the first place I'm going to have to go to accomplish that is to go to my love walk. I have to work on that. If I don't work on my love walk, even though what I am doing I might call I have faith, I really don't, because faith works by love. I'll find out that what I'm trying to have faith in won't work. My prayers don't work. I'm pulling every lever and pushing every button trying to get this prayer to work, and it doesn't work because my faith isn't working.
Right.
It doesn't work because I've got a hindrance in my life that we talked about last week. The different hindrances. I have not received the Word of God as life, as truth, as absolute truth. I haven't walked my love walk. I have to do that. Otherwise it won't work.
Amen.
I'm just simply unplugged. You know, if you don't plug the appliance into the outlet and have power at that outlet, if you don't do that, you can push every single button on that thing. And there's nothing wrong with the appliance, but it will not work because it's not plugged into the power source. And that's the way love is. Our faith simply will not work. It will not work without our love walk.
Amen.
So that's why it's so important when I go through a checkout counter or somebody's trying to cheat me on something, that I watch how I respond to that. I can go through a checkout counter and get upset at that checkout counter and be right in the middle of believing for something and wind up not getting it because I didn't respond right at that checkout counter. And when I left there, I didn't fix that. I didn't do anything with it. I considered it small and insignificant, but it wasn't. As I said a couple of weeks ago and throughout this series, everything works by a process.
Amen.
When I got upset at that little old lady in front of me, when I got upset for that checkout guy is just really going slow and doesn't care who's back there, has zero interest in what he's doing, he's just making his time. I get upset with that because I'm in a hurry or whatever it might be, but I allow my emotions to rise up. I have flipped from being spiritually minded, walking in love, to carnally minded, walking in anger. Walking in being upset. I have moved from one to the other. I've been deceived. The enemy has successfully set up a way to remove me from the Word of God, to move me from my love walk, to move me from being from spiritually minded to carnally minded. When I do that, my faith don't work. And it's really not the enemy's fault. It's mine.
Well, I heard Jerry Savelle say this one time. He wondered why his prayers wasn't getting answered or why it seemed to take so long. And he said that it was explained to him like you're in a car you're going 55 miles an hour and you get a flat tire. You can continue, but it'll take you twice as long.
Yeah.
So if you don't fix your flat tire, you're not going to be able to get back up to speed.
Exactly right.
And if you let another tire go flat in the meantime or something else goes wrong, it'll take you another twice as long. You'll get there, but you'll wonder why it's taking so long. It's because you don't go back and fix it.
If you don't keep having flat tires.
Yeah, you got to go back and fix it.
But that's a good analogy. That issue at that checkout counter, or whatever it may be, was your flat tire.
Yeah.
You didn't fix it. Now, you could have went out of there and fixed it, but you didn't do that. Mm. You felt that you had a right to be angry. That guy is not doing his job. That's none of your business. You're supposed to be exercising the fruit of patience.
Amen.
And patience works by love also. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So we have to be on guard against these things. And if we're not taught it, if we're not meditating on the Word, if we're not thinking about our love walk and on purpose making choices to walk in love, we will fail. We will fall into one of those traps. We will make the wrong decision and not fix it. And that thing will start developing something else. It stayed there. It's still growing now. It'll work off into something else. The next guy you meet down the road will be similar. And now your emotions are high from the past one, from the last one you didn't fix. Now this happens, and now you're even more emotional about that. So it grows. If things grow in our life, love grows. Our attitudes change and fix. So we got to aim at and pursue these things if we're expecting to be successful.
Amen.
And that's why I believe why the Lord wanted us to cover this series in depth. And there's no way to cover it. There's no way to complete it, because love. And the love is involved in every single thing we do and think and say. It's involved in time. It's involved in eternity. It's involved in the rapture. It's involved in the end of time. It's all of it. It's involved in everything from the very beginning, because God is love. So there's never been a point where love is not important. There never will be. Everything, no matter what it is, functions by love. Or the lack of it. So love is involved. I cannot remove love. The love factor cannot be removed. It's in everything. So if I know that's involved in everything, then I've got a key that I can use to defeat the enemy, to change my circumstances. If I'm trying to change circumstances and not walking in love, I'm not going to change anything.
That's right.
I'm being changed. But I can't change anything. But if I walk in love and faith and God's word, all working together, if I'm doing that, correcting myself as I go, then I can change the things around me. I can change my circumstances. I can move from fear, worry, depression, anger, all of these things I can move away from. I can change them. I may not be able to change the fact that took place, but I can change my part in it. And I can now be an answer to that problem because I'm choosing to walk in love. If I don't, then I'm the one being changed.
Amen.
Those circumstances are changing me. Other things are happening around me that appear to be unrelated, but they are related. They're developing things. And that's the bad part about it, is because the average Christian does not know that. They just live life as it comes. Not realizing that God has put inside us Himself, the lover Himself, and that He wants that changed, but He cannot do it without me.
Amen.
I'm involved in everything that God does. Walking in agape love requires development and training. There is no way that you can walk in love without developing it and training yourself. You have to train. You have to do it. And if you're not going to do it, then you're going to be subject to everything else around you. You will be trained, but not in the way of God. The world will train you, and you'll keep getting worse and worse and worse, and not knowing why. You'll blame God for it, and it's not His fault. It's your fault. It is vital that we develop and strengthen our inner man. or our spirit man, which is the real man. It's vital that we develop and strengthen him.
Amen.
He's there. Whether I'm born again or not, I have a spirit man because that's the real me. That's the one part that was created in God's image. That's man. Man is a spirit.
Amen.
We have a soul or a carnal nature, a mind, emotions, and will. We have a soul. Soul and the spirit are not the same thing. And we live in a body. That's a whole other teaching. We are a spirit. We can't get away from that. That's who we are. We are a spirit the way God is a spirit. We have a soul. Everyone has a soul. And everyone that's alive in this earth has a body.
Yep.
We're a tripart being. And it requires all of them, all three, to function in this earth. So it is vital. And they are developing. Our spirit man is devolving or evolving. It's developing into something or it's regressing. But it's getting stronger or it's getting weaker. It's more in control or it's less in control. Even though we are a spirit being. The less we walk in love, the more regressed or defeated we are. The more we walk in love, the stronger our spirit is. The stronger our spirit is, the more in control our spiritual nature is, our real person. We're less carnally minded or worldly minded. And it's like anything else. We are developing something. We're developing something.
Amen.
I am developing my carnal nature, my flesh, the world, all of this stuff that's out here, this evil tendency of man, the fallen nature, I'm developing that. Or I'm developing my godlike nature. The real me, I'm developing my spiritual mind. I'm developing my spiritual mind or I'm developing my carnal mind. But I'm always developing something. I can sit in a chair and never move or never even try to think of anything and I'm still developing something. You cannot stop developing. You're going to develop something. And it's your choice what you want to develop. Not,
amen.
It's not Satan's fault. And it's not God's fault if I make the wrong choice. Satan is just presenting me a choice. And if there's nothing out there to choose, I can't choose. So he has to see to it that there's something for me to choose or I can't choose it. Same way with God. He presents. He's done everything. There's nothing. Nothing's short. All things that pertain to God, life and godliness, as it says in 1 Peter, has already been given to us. It's there. I can choose it. But I can't choose it if I don't know it's there. And I can't choose it if I don't understand it in some way or know that I can. I can know that it's there, but I may not know that I can. So it's not hard to choose the carnal nature because that's where we are. But we don't have to be. See, and that's the key. So it is vital that I choose what I want to develop. If I'm in this world and I don't know God and I don't know anything about Him, I'm not doing anything with my walk with God, then the other choice is made already. So that's going to develop. But if I choose God, choose His Word, choose a love walk and make a quality decision to walk that, one that there's no backing up on, I make a quality decision. As long as I'm doing that, then my love walk is being developed.
Amen.
And the other one is in regression. Okay, so we cannot be successful in developing and building our love walk without the Holy Spirit, who lives and abides in every born-again believer. If you are genuinely born again, the Holy Spirit and your spirit are one.
Amen.
You're one. He came in the moment you got born again. You may not know it. You may not realize it, but God Himself merged with your real self. You're one.
Amen.
You're one. The very life and presence of God Himself is in your life. And with Him, all that God is right there. We cannot be successful in building and developing our love walk without the Holy Spirit. who is lives and abides in every born-again believer. Now, if you are not born again, the Holy Spirit's not there. He wants to be, and it only takes a second. But you have to ask, you have to believe, you have to get born again, or he can't come in.
Amen.
Okay, it's just that simple. The Holy Spirit is our helper in the developing process. See, this is one thing we don't realize. We do not realize that we need help to develop. You know, we think this is all on us. We think, okay, Brother Michael, I can't do all of that. I'm not capable of doing all of that. I have a hard time even getting up in the morning, let alone trying to develop a love walk. I mean, I've got 70 years here of experience where I just fly off the handle at a drop of a hat. I'll even throw the hat down to get to do it. So how can I change that? Well, for one thing, you're not alone.
Amen.
That's why God placed His Spirit inside you. So He is the one that assists you in developing. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings forth revelation, knowledge of the Word. But you have to go to the Word for Him to bring the revelation.
Amen.
You have to make the choice to walk in love before He can strengthen you so that you can. You have to make the decision to forgive and to put your foot in there and make a choice to do it before the Holy Spirit can strengthen you.
Amen.
In the forgiving process. And it is a process. So whatever you choose to do to develop your love walk, the Holy Spirit's there to bring revelation and to strengthen you and to train you, to cause you to make right choices, to tell you when you make the wrong one. You're not done just because you flew off the handle after making that choice. You change it. God will help you with that. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. The Holy Spirit is there to assist and help with the development. But He cannot do it without me. If I come along and I say, okay, I'm walking on love walk, Holy Spirit, do it. And I just continue on down my road, He's not going to do that. For one, He can't. It requires me. He helps me. He doesn't do it for me. Well, that's not fair. If He knows I need it, why doesn't God just do it? Because it will not develop us. It's a joint thing. God does everything with man, not for man. He died for man, but He still needed man's assistance. That's why Jesus had to come as a man. Even at the cross, God required a man.
Yes.
Everything God has ever done with us is with man, not for Him.
That's right.
It's with Him.
Good
and
point.
Through Him. And it never will change. I am involved in everything God does in
Amen.
My life. And through me. And to my family and to whatever I pray for, I'm involved in those prayers. I'm involved in those answers. If my prayer is not based on love and the Word, then I'm wasting my time. I'm not saying don't pray, but you better pray to get this fixed.
Amen.
For revelation, knowledge on how to get this fixed. Because your prayer and your faith is based in love. So, we cannot be successful in developing and building our love walk without the Holy Spirit, who lives and abides in every born-again believer. He is our helper. Underscore that. He is our helper in the developing
yes.
process. Let's look at Ephesians 3:16 through 19. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. And we've talked about this in previous messages in this series, but we started this numerous months ago because you have 4 Sundays in a month and this is message 28. Well, you figure it out. That's how many months we've been on this. So we have talked about this before, but we're going to just focus on this for the rest of our study today. I'd like to go on further down, but we're not going to. We'll pick up the rest of this. It'll probably be titled different, but we will pick up the rest of this when we come back after Christmas, the last Sunday of the year on the 27th. We'll start again with message 29. So Right now, we're going to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is an awesome prayer. And if you don't have an Amplified Bible, get one. Or get access to one where you can copy this down as a prayer. Man, it's just so awesome. You know, in this prayer, in the substance of this prayer that Paul prayed here, is involved in almost every letter in some way or another that Paul wrote.
Yeah.
It's revelation that Paul had that God gave Paul for the church.
Amen.
And this prayer is not just for the Ephesians. It's for the church.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit imparted this prayer into Paul's spirit as he prayed. He was praying by the Spirit. Now this is the absolute will of God. And it says so much. There's so many. Each verse here needs to be meditated on. And in some cases, every word in the verse. Where you stop and you look and you think and you ask God and you talk about it. And you search your heart in each one of them. There's so much in this prayer that will give us insight into the heart and the purpose of God and into how vital the love walk is to us. If there's anything we pay very little attention to in the church, it's our love walk.
Wow.
And it's so sad because that's where the power is.
Yep.
We'll talk about power. We'll talk about faith. And we'll talk about all these various things. But they all function by love. And we won't concentrate on the love so the other things can work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we do this. Paul had that revelation, but so did John.
Yeah.
You can see that in 1 John 4. That chapter there. You can see it in the life of John. They had a deep, and Peter too. All the apostles, basically. They had a deep revelation of the love of God.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we have to have. We have to have it. If we're going to be a church without spot or wrinkle, we have to have this. This is what removes the wrinkles. There's nothing can remove the wrinkles on the body of Christ or on man except the love walk.
Yes.
And that's all God is doing.
Hallelujah.
Because He is love. And then as I said before, as He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:18, 17 and 18. God is love. As He is, so are we. You say that enough, and eventually the revelation of that will start coming to you. It's like this prayer, and that's what Paul is praying here. Exactly what John was declaring.
Amen.
When he stated that. So we're going to take this apart as we go, but spend time. Get yourself access. If you got to write this, take this message and play it back and write down every word of this verse. You cannot buy an Amplified Classic Bible anymore unless you got one that's just happened to be on the shelf yet. You can buy an Amplified Bible, but it's a revised version starting in 2011. If it says copyright 2011, it's not a classic. It's a revised one, and it will not be the same. It's a little watered down. You can still get the Amplified Classic Bible online, online Bibles, and you can get it still in apps, Bible apps. eSword is one of the best. You can get eSword. It's $20 for a lifetime key for eSword. And you can put it on any computer or anything you want with that same key. But anyways, there are, and I think YouVersion has one, but there are numerous, there's several of them. I can't think of the other ones, but there's several other ones that have amplified versions for your phone and for your computer. Somehow get it if you got to get it from somebody else that has one. But get this down. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. And make this your prayer. Put your name in it. Pray it for other people. Put their name in it. Put the church. And please put my name in there when you pray it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 through 19. Amplified Classic. May He grant you, out of the rich treasury of His glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. I've already said the Holy Spirit lives inside of each believer. That part has been given to us if you're a believer. But look at what it says here. May He, who? God. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. What is a grant?
A gift.
It's a gift that does not have to be repaid. Now, a loan, you have to pay back. But, or you borrow something. Kids come, Dad, can I borrow a piece of candy? You're going to bring it back, aren't you? Because that's what borrow means. I don't want it in the state that it will be in, but I want another piece to replace it. You know, so borrow means to return. Grant does not.
Right.
And this is something that God wants to grant. But you have to position yourself for it. You have to ask. So, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. The power of God, that's really not the glory. Most people don't know what the glory is. I've talked about it before. The glory is God himself.
Amen.
God is what? Love. So what's the glory? Love. The glory of something is the essence or the fullness of it. The nth degree, the most it can possibly be. That's the glory of something. The fullness of him. Well, if God is love, then what's his fullness? Sometimes you got to think these things through. And that's what Paul was doing here. He was meditating on this. How long he meditated on this? Probably his whole life. After he got born again. Probably spent time in the desert with this. See, God revealed it to him. Out of the rich treasure of his glory, out of the fullness of his love, may he grant you. That's what he's saying here. This is so important. Love is so important in our lives. May he grant you, you can say it that way. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his love or his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power. Where's the mighty power coming from? It comes from the love.
Amen.
God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. Jesus is love. The Word is love. All of it's love. So he's granting it to you out of his love. Mother?
You know, I hear people, we all have, and we've said things like all the power and everything of God. But when you explain it the way you do, that all these things are love, I wonder what some people would say when they argue God's power is not his love. They can't say that. That's not so.
Because that's who he is.
What can they say of God that's not love, no matter if it's judgment, righteousness, righteous anger, and all those different things?
It's all love.
His wrath and all that stuff. He doesn't stop loving if he demonstrates his wrath.
No.
And he, you know, he's the whole thing all the time.
That's all he is.
Yeah. So you can't cut God up into little slices and say, well, now he's this, and now he's this, and now he's this. He's always love.
He's always love. There is nothing else. Actually, you get right down to it, since creation come from inside of God himself.
Sure.
Everything that is love. Yes. It may not be functioning in love, but it is love-based. It's love-rooted. It's got its foundation there, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is. That's why it's so important. So if you're talking about him granting you something out of the rich treasury of his glory, love is what he uses.
Amen.
Because it's who he is. So what's he going to be granting you then that strengthens you? Love is what he's given to you to strengthen you. That's what he's going to give you. That's him. It's out of the riches of his glory. So he doesn't just grant you power. There's no power without the love.
Amen.
So when he grants you strength, what's he granting you? Love. Because the strength is in the love.
Right.
Oh, man. He grants you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced. So now we see love reinforcing you.
Amen.
Be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. So where does the love go? The inner man. Where the Holy Spirit and my spirit are one.
Amen.
You know, every single thing flows from the inner man.
Yes.
Our faith comes from inside, not our mind, comes from our spirit. Every single thing about us flows from the inside out. If we're calling the fire down, it's too late. The fire's already here. He lives in me. The fire is the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. So we should be calling the fire up, not down.
Amen. Amen.
There was a time when you called it down because the Holy Spirit wasn't living in us. But He's living here now.
Amen.
We are one. So the fire and the glory and the power and all of that's already in me. You know where your healing comes from? You're not talking God into it way out there. The healing comes from inside.
Amen.
Romans 8:11. It comes from the inside. And if we're looking for all that stuff way out there in the by and by, it'll never happen. The answers to our prayer comes from inside. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that acts on the Word. He's Amen. The one that lives in me that is acting on that Word that I'm praying. The answer comes from inside by the Spirit of God. He flows in us and through us. Our salvation comes from the inside. When we get born again, He comes in and it brings life and renewal to all of our flesh. When we say the Word renews our mind, it does from the inside. The Word that I receive into my spirit is what renews my mind. It all flows from the inside. And that's what Paul's trying to get across here. To be strengthened and reinforced by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Verse 17. There's a lot more in there, but I need to move on. Already out of time. May Christ, through your faith. Okay? Now, who's active here? It says through your faith.
Amen.
May Christ, or the Anointed One in His anointing, that's what Christ means. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. Your heart is your spirit. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. All of this entire prayer is based on love.
Amen.
May Christ through your faith, faith works by love. May Christ through your faith actually dwell. You're all born again here. Do you believe? Do you believe
Amen.
That? I believe that Christ through my faith actually lives in me.
Amen.
And once He's there, He's not leaving.
That's right.
I may not let Him work or allow Him to work or do anything in my life. I'm making wrong choices, but He's there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Actually, because the Holy Spirit abides and lives inside my spirit, that's why I go into rapture.
Amen.
Because He's there. That's why those who are not born again can't go, because the Holy Spirit's not there.
Right.
The Holy Spirit has to be there because that's the one that's being drawn. I'm going because He's going. Praise God. Amen. He lives in me. If He's not there, I'm not going into rapture. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home.
Amen.
I'm His permanent home. In your hearts, may you be rooted deep in love. Now that means that's where I'm getting all my life from. The roots are there because it's drawing the water, it's drawing the nourishment, it's drawing the elements and the things out of that soil that it's rooted in. That's what brings life to the plant. So if I'm rooted deep in love, where's my life coming from?
Amen.
It's coming from love. That's why it's so vital to us. May you be deep, rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. So it's also what I build on.
Amen.
I'm founded on love, so my roots below the ground are rooted in love. I'm founded on love above the ground, building the house.
Amen.
Okay. That. Okay, so the word that means if I do that, then this happens.
Amen.
If I don't do that, then this does not happen. That you may. Now, why does He put may? Because there's still a choice to make.
Yeah.
It means the ability is there, but it's not going to happen unless I cooperate with it. even though everything's in place. It won't work if I don't cooperate with it. 18, that you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may come to know. See, we're seeing a process here, aren't we? The first verse, 16 and 17, is talking about what we request and what we pray for and what God's done. And then from verse 18 down, it tells us what can be the results of doing that, or what God's motive is in doing this. That you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. Love is not really full until it's experienced. The experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest treasure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Oh, praise God, do I want that.
Amen.
I want that. And I pray that you want that. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, and thank you for the time and the word. And thank you, Father, for those that did join us, and hopefully they stayed. If not, maybe they can get this from our webpage. Lord, we love you so much. We praise you and thank you for teaching us and for abiding with us and for giving us this knowledge. It truly passes our understanding. But Lord, you're busy revealing it to us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.